You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having fantastic Wednesdays, wherever you may be across this great country or this great land. We got a lot to dive into. Women's NCAA tournament compared to men. Caitlin Clark, what does it mean? Scott Drew, now the focus supposedly of Kentucky as John Calipari to Arkansas is official. Trump goes to Chick-fil-A, labels it God's chicken, which is amazing. Their media outlets want a debate. Charles Barkley weighs in on the eclipse, all this and more. But I want to tell you right off the top, Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Over 3 million members, and unlike other apps on Prize Picks, just you against the number, no sharks, competitive leagues out there. You can win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That turns $10 into $1,000. They got everything, Masters, basketball, hockey, baseball, you name it. As well as League of Legends and all these other different esports. Once you've signed up, take advantage of the free square for, I don't even know how to pronounce that guy's name. Do we know? I'm not a UFC guy. Justin Gaethje. I don't know. I need overall pronunciation. Guaranteed winner. All he needs to do is land half a punch against Max Holloway for you to win this pick. Download the app today. Use the code OUTKICK for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code OUTKICK on Prize Picks. Deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy when you go to Prize Picks. Use code OUTKICK. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
NCAA tournament ratings. Congratulations to the women. Caitlin Clark is a comet. She is a meteor streaking across the night sky. She is a unicorn. She is bringing about 70%, I think, of the overall viewership to women's college basketball. I am stunned, frankly, by how much interest there is in Caitlin Clark. But I've been thinking about it. You may have seen me tweet about it yesterday. What does this mean? Now, there are all different sorts of stories, right? The men's championship game, UConn doesn't seem to be a driver, even though I said yesterday, I think they're probably the most underrated champion that we've talked about in college athletics. Certainly the most underrated back-to-back champion in men's college athletics, in basketball or in football in the last 40 years. I don't even think there's an argument about that. They don't seem to move the needle. Purdue certainly doesn't move the needle. And so putting the game on TBS, I would argue also putting the game at 9:20 Eastern is a disaster. I don't know why they start it so late. I don't know why they play it on Monday night. Women's game was on, if I believe I'm correct on this, Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon is actually, and Saturday afternoon, probably the most underrated massive viewership window out there. Do you think it's a coincidence that the NFL plays almost all of its games on Sunday afternoon? You think the NFL doesn't know where viewers are? To me, it's a no-brainer. I think there should be more afternoon viewing kids can watch. I'm going to get into kids watching, by the way, in a big way. Get your popcorn here in a moment. But I don't even think this is a tough call. I think the NCAA putting their game on TBS at 9:20 Eastern for the men's championship is a really poor decision. And I actually give credit to Disney, because I think putting the women's championship game on a Sunday afternoon, super smart, maximizes viewership, maximizes eyeballs. Now the question going forward is, what happens now? My analogy on Caitlin Clark, in addition to her being a unicorn, I think the best analogy for her is Ronda Rousey, except Ronda Rousey in college. What happens now? Using my own experience, do you remember when Ronda Rousey was a viral superstar and everybody watched Ronda Rousey? I ordered multiple UFC fights on pay-per-view to watch Ronda Rousey fight. I can't even name a women's UFC fighter. That's not hyperbole. I can't name a woman's UFC fighter right now. Adam is here with me who does fact-checking. Who is the women's, like, champion right now in the UFC? Do you know? What percentage? Here's a good question for you. What percentage of actual fans, I mean legitimate sports fans, can tell you right now who the women's UFC champion is? 5%? 10%? Some of you may know. I have no idea. It's not because I'm not interested in UFC. It's because, like a lot of you, I follow the big story. People want to be a part of the big story. About 70%, maybe higher, of the audience for women's UFC fights vanished when Ronda Rousey lost. I think that's going to happen in the UFC as well. I think that as soon as Ronda Rousey lost, most people stopped caring about UFC women's fighting. I think Caitlin Clark leaving and going from college to the WNBA is going to vanish the overall college basketball audience. And I think the debate's going to be, how do we create another Caitlin Clark? I think that's going to be a fascinating discussion. But I think the audience that really cares about NCAA women's basketball is small. I think the audience that cares about Caitlin Clark, to be fair, is more substantial than I thought it was going to be. I thought as long as Iowa's women's won that there would be a substantial audience. I didn't think it would go all the way to, what did it go, 18.7 million, I think, was the women's viewership. That's all Caitlin Clark. I think if Caitlin Clark had lost, there would have been like 5 or 6 million people watching the women. And I think that's what it's likely to go back to next year. Now, the other question is this going to juice the WNBA? I think it depends on how good she is. If Caitlin Clark is orders of magnitude better than the average WNBA player, I think some people will follow her. I think the problem is we've had 25 years of the WNBA, and there is no fan base for any of these teams. And look, there are some success stories, minor level, in the National Women's Soccer League, the NWSL. Certainly the U.S. women's soccer team is very, very popular. It hasn't translated as much into the pro ranks because most people don't care about the NWSL. They'll cheer for the U.S. franchise, right? Which is why I think they should put Caitlin Clark on the women's college team at the Olympics. I think that's a no-brainer. Way more people will watch if they put her there. I just don't know that her success is going to translate to the WNBA. Now, maybe I'm wrong. It's going to stun you. Sometimes I'm wrong. I don't think it's going to translate. I think much of the Caitlin Clark interest was connected to Iowa, which already has a fan base, and to the women's college basketball, which already has a fan base, to be fair. UConn women, Tennessee women. They built Gino Auriemma, Pat Summitt. They built really big audiences that a lot of people didn't take note of. In fact, I don't even think this was the record viewership for a women's basketball game. I think the record viewership, if I'm not wrong, Adam, you can check this, was 1995. I think I'm correct in this, going all the way back to 1995, I think was the most watched women's basketball game ever. Maybe it was 1996. By the way, for all of you out there, I've never heard of these people. Raquel Pennington is the women's bantamweight champion. I mean, I've never heard of Raquel Pennington. Amanda Nunez, I do know her. I know that name. She's the women's featherweight champ. Didn't she beat Ronda Rousey? I think the only reason I know Amanda Nunez's name is because I think she beat Ronda Rousey. In the second fight, maybe, I think Amanda Nunez beat her. I know Holly Holm beat Ronda Rousey the first time in a huge upset. I think Amanda Nunez then beat Ronda Rousey, giving Adam a lot of work here, in her second fight, and then Ronda Rousey was like, I'm out. Alexa Grasso is the women's flyweight. And Zhang Weili is the women's strawweight. Yes, Amanda Nunes beat Ronda Rousey, knocked her out in 48 seconds. And that was the end of Ronda Rousey. But that fame did not translate to Amanda Nunes. So that is my analysis of that situation overall. Okay, a couple other stories that are out there. I'm fired up about this, so buckle up. My family has become big Atlanta Braves fans. I don't know how this happened. It wasn't planned. During COVID, and maybe the year before, my middle son started putting the Atlanta Braves games on Bally Sports South or whatever heck network it is every night in our house. And during COVID, during the 60-game season, when there's like no sports going on, we all really got into it. The whole Travis family now, big Atlanta Braves fans. Like many of the people all over the South. My kids come home. This is not not kidding about this. My kids come home, and one of the first things they say is, what time does the Braves game start tonight? Usually the Braves game starts 6:20 Central, kind of a perfect time. We finish dinner. Hopefully the kids have got their homework done. And then every night, the Atlanta Braves are on in my house. Boys are watching, all three of them. I'm watching. Even my wife occasionally will walk through and watch. I take the boys down to watch the Atlanta Braves in person for at least one road trip every year. It's really fun. Last night, the Braves are playing the Mets. And I'm using this story because I think it is similar to how a lot of you experience sports in a streaming age. Last night, we have Comcast. I've said before, we pay for virtually every streaming service on the planet. I've got, I had WWE Network back in the day. We've got Netflix. I think we got Hulu. We got ESPN Plus. We got Disney Plus. If you can pay for a subscription in media, Paramount, Peacock, basically we pay for all of them. And this tied in, by the way, because they announced that there's going to be a Friday game in Brazil on Peacock for the start of the NFL season. Pretty cool. Eagles against somebody. I don't remember who exactly the Eagles are playing, but that's going to happen. You have to have Peacock to be able to watch that game. They put a playoff game on Peacock as well. Streaming is not good for the average sports fan. When I was a kid growing up, I could watch the Braves on WTBS and the Chicago Cubs on WGN pretty much every game. Sit down, boom, the Braves are on. That's one reason they have such a huge fan base. Boom, the Cubs are on. I would watch those games all the time during the summer. Last night, Braves are playing the Mets. Game starts at 6:20 Central, 7:20 Eastern. My 9-year-old comes downstairs and he says, Dad, I really want to watch the Braves. It's blocked out because Bally's had here locally in Nashville, we're in the Braves viewing window. They had on the Predators game and they had on the Memphis Grizzly game. So you couldn't watch the Atlanta Braves play. And so I sat back and I said, okay, this game's on ESPN Plus. We've got the Major League Baseball extra innings package or whatever it's called. We also have ESPN Plus. Let's put it on ESPN Plus. Try to go on ESPN Plus. It's blocked out. You cannot watch it. Now, at this point, I went on Twitter and I said, hey, is there any way to watch this? And the reality is, the answer is yes, but you have to basically illegally stream this game. Even though I've already paid for it, even though I should be able to watch it, or I have to change my VPN. I shouldn't have to commit what is a crime in order to watch my favorite team, and the Travis household should not have to do this in order to watch our favorite team play. This to me, and I'm going to write on this because I think it's a big deal, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, all of these leagues are sacrificing future generation and growth of their sport by making the games way too hard to get. There should be no blackouts of any games anywhere in America. You should be able to watch your favorite team play every game. Blackouts exist as an antiquated relic of the 1950s. And the idea was, we're not going to be able to sell tickets if we put games on television. That's not true. And by the way, if you were going to have blackouts based on that logic, I'm in Nashville. No one is driving 4.5 hours to Atlanta to watch the Braves and then turning around and driving 4.5 hours back. There's no reason why there should be blackouts long distance from the stadiums. If you want to argue somebody might change their mind who's a half hour from the stadium, I don't know that I buy that, but maybe you could make that argument. Blackouts shouldn't exist 4.5 hours away. Has to be fixed. We need a fan bill of rights. Because it's not just me. The amount of people responding with your own stories. Somebody told me that if you live in Las Vegas, there are 5 different teams that you're blacked out on being able to watch. This is crazy. There needs to be one app where you are guaranteed to be able to watch your favorite team no matter what. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever it is, there should be no blackouts. And if you're paying for it, you should never get blacked out. In fact, I think there's an antitrust lawsuit to be filed. If you need a named plaintiff who is an expert on this and probably would do pretty well in front of a jury if a case ever got to a jury, I'm willing to sign on. If we got an elite antitrust team that wants to sue to just go after every blackout in America, I'm your guy. And here's the thing. It's actually proven that it hurts the overall sport to be making it difficult to watch games. Let me give you an example on this. You remember the NCAA tournament? Some of you are going to think this is crazy. It used to be the case that you could only watch one game. And you guys are going to be like, what are you talking about? The NCAA tournament would be going on. You would get one game. They might cut in and with another game if it were close, but they gave you NCAA tournament games regionally. Then people got fed up with this. You had to go out to a sports bar and watch multi-regions. I remember doing this myself. And then they started to allow you to stream it, finally. But for like the first 20 years of my life as a sports fan, they didn't have TBS, True, and TNT, and CBS all potentially simultaneously airing games at the same time. You know what happened when they started to put on every game simultaneously? Ratings went up. It turns out if you give fans the opportunity to pick the game that they want to watch, instead of locking them in with only one regional game, the overall audience actually goes up. That is, the leagues benefit by giving fans better options and better choices with how to spend their entertainment time. I think that would happen across the entire landscape of sports. But right now, they are screwing all of us, and I'm going to write on it, and I will write the fans' bill of rights, and I think it matters because streaming right now is worse for the average sports fan than it was when we had basic cable. It costs more and you get to watch less and it's way more complicated. And by the way, I shouldn't have to commit a freaking felony to watch my favorite team play on a game that I already paid for. People, a lot of you are normalizing things that shouldn't be normal. Go get a VPN and change where your location is so that you can stream. Why should I have to lie about where I live to watch a team that I love play a game? Go stream it online illegally. Yeah, well, you got all sorts of noxious pop-up ads going up. God knows what infections laptops are getting from these pirated streaming sites, to say nothing of the fact that it's illegal. Don't require that. And don't make me log in 48 different times on so many different streaming services to be able to watch a game. You know how hard it is to switch from one game and one streaming service to another? It's a disaster. I'm sorry. Taking the most money is not always the best way to grow your business. When and people say, oh, it's all about, no, I took less money to sell OutKick to Fox because I saw OutKick growing better with Fox than with gambling companies that offered more money for OutKick. They said, you know, the gambling company, I don't just want OutKick to focus on gambling. I love sports gambling. But I don't know what the relationship will be like. I don't know how well distributed will be. I took less money for OutKick because I saw a better future with Fox. All I'm saying to the companies, the teams, the leagues, make the right decision for the long range. Anytime there's a kid who wants to watch your product, as happened yesterday in the Travis household, and you don't allow them to do it, you anger them, and you make it harder for them to become long-range fans of your product. That's my advice. I'm going to write on this. I think it's super important. Coach Cal's going to Arkansas. And by the way, I'm going to have to jump off here in a few minutes because I got to go get on Fox News, speaking of Fox, to help advocate grow OutKick's audience. I can't believe Coach Cal is at Arkansas. I always think it's funny when they stream the new pictures, or they put up the new, now he's in red instead of in blue. Talk is, and Adam, let me know if this changes, talk is now that Baylor Scott Drew is the new focus of the Kentucky basketball search. That is the guy that is the odds-on favorite to be the next coach. I don't know if I would leave Baylor if I were Scott Drew. I really don't. First of all, I think Baylor has enough money to make the salary somewhat comparable. And I think he probably has an incredible life in Waco, Texas. Not a lot of pressure. He's already won a national championship. He has a good relationship with his university. Pressure, not, like I said, off the charts. Family seems to be happy. Lexington's a fantastic place. If you've already had success and you basically can have lifetime tenure at Baylor and you've already established that you can win a national title, I don't know that his life gets that much better based on what might be somewhat of a raise from Kentucky. I really don't. Maybe you make a couple of million dollars more a year. If Baylor can go to $6 or $7 million, and let's say Kentucky offers you $9 million, is your life really going to be that much different from $7 to $9 million? I don't know that I buy it. And I say that who's fortunate enough to have a decent amount of money now. All right, I'm about to have to roll. Inflation, 3.5%. It's not going away. Fed's not going to lower rates now. It doesn't look like until late summer, early fall at the earliest. Joe Biden, objectively, is the worst president in any of our lives. If you look at what's happened at the border, if you look at 40-year high inflation, if you look at record 21st century highs in violent crime, if you look at what it cost, like I said, to go out and buy anything, war in Europe and war in the Middle East, all Biden has to run on now. He's trying to put his chief political rival in prison for the rest of his life. The only thing Biden has to run on is abortion, which is why I think they're going to make abortion the number one story in America. And they're even starting to put a little pressure on Biden over this debate situation. Did you see the story? Front page New York Times this morning, CNN, CBS, NBC, Fox News, and ABC are all writing a joint letter asking for Joe Biden to debate against Donald Trump. It's a little bit of pressure. I think that's worth paying attention to. We will talk about that. By the way, Charles Barkley weighed in on an eclipse. I agree with him. Yesterday, you heard me talking about how the eclipse is the most overrated, in my opinion, cosmic event out there. I would combine it with the weather, not in a sunny Hostin way, but I'm way more interested in whether it's going to snow in Nashville than I am, for instance, whether or not We're going to see the sun get blocked for a few minutes. That's my own thing. And then finally here, I got to bounce off because I got to go to television with Fox News. Trump was in Atlanta today. Hopefully you can watch the Braves game. He was in Atlanta today. He went to Chick-fil-A. He bought a bunch of milkshakes and chicken sandwiches, and he referred to Chick-fil-A as God's chicken. What an amazing line. The one thing that Trump does that doesn't get enough attention is he's a really funny dude. And I agree with him. Chick-fil-A is, in fact, God's chicken. DBAP, unless you need to ask BAP, I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. You got new, by the way, shirts up. This is great in honor of the Masters starting officially tomorrow. I'm wearing green. Appreciate all of you. DBAP, unless you need to ask BAP, this has been Outkick the Show. Enjoy the Masters tomorrow. I'll see you on Fox News in a few minutes.